Health Master student there. Today I'm going to be talking about defining a physical activity policy and environmental research agenda, obtaining the perspectives of practitioners and researchers. Before I get started, I'd like to acknowledge the principal investigators on this study, Ross Brunson, Cheryl Kelly, and Amy Eiler at St. Louis University, and then Tom Schmidt from the CDC. And I'd also like to acknowledge some of the collaborators on this project who have contributed a lot of important input on it. So despite the known health benefits of physical activity, only 1 in 4 Americans engage in little or no regular physical activity, and this can lead to numerous health problems such as diabetes, heart disease, and such things like that. Possible solutions to increasing physical activity have focused primarily on individual level interventions, and these are unlikely to affect activity patterns and trends that impact the majority of the population. A more promising strategy lies in environmental and policy approaches, because these are more likely to impact a greater proportion of the population and also to lead to long-term changes. So it's pretty well known that practitioners want to consistently have a higher level of influence over the production of research. And unfortunately, research agendas are generally put together by either funding agencies or by individual research teams. And they don't take into account what practitioners and researchers from across the country think would be important to research. This lack of input can lead to gaps in the knowledge base and can result in the funding of low priority research. Therefore, in this project, our primary objectives were to obtain input from practitioners and researchers on an agenda for environmental and policy research, and then to prioritize this input into a concise research agenda. So even though there is a growing body of research on physical activity in the physical environment, the evidence base for many policy interventions is sparse and the conceptual issues are underdeveloped. In this project, we sought to utilize a systematic process, input from hundreds of individuals, rigorous methodology, and then we also hope that this is a springboard for future research and improved practice in physical activity promotion. So the methods that we used was to use concept mapping. This is a technique that obtains and organizes input from many practitioners or from many perspectives and disciplines, builds consensus among disparate groups, so it's pretty well known that researchers and practitioners tend to not always agree, so this method helps to sort of combine and build a consensus. It also helps to build knowledge, provides details in an organized and unique framework of action, and then provides a basis for prioritizing these actions. So this slide presents an overview of concept mapping. It includes 6 steps. The first step is to just prepare the project. This is when the participants are selected, and then the primary question or the focus of the project is determined. Next, ideas are generated through group brainstorming, and then those ideas are then structured through a sorting and rating process. Then those sorted and rated ideas are put into the concept system software, where it computes the maps, and then they interpret the maps, and then the maps are finally utilized. And I will be describing each of these steps in more detail as they relate to our particular project of developing the research agenda. Now, the first step, preparation, is when the planning group defines the issue to be addressed. In this project, a core group of 10 researchers and practitioners define the focus statement. The focus statement here was one research topic that will best inform policy or environmental approaches to physical activity promotion is. And this statement was intentionally left open-ended because it allows the participants to then finish the statement with their own personal ideas when they're doing the group brainstorming. Next, the core group initially identified and nominated 641 people from a variety of disciplines to participate. And these 641 people represented both researchers and practitioners from across the U.S. And some of the examples of the practitioners that participated in this process were physical activity coordinators, urban planners, safe routes to school coordinators, and public health consultants. And then of the 641 that were nominated, 600 were actually invited to brainstorm. And this whole process was done online and through email for the invitation. And so the reason that there's less is because we may have had invalid emails or incorrect addresses for these people. So of those that were invited, 239 actually responded to the email, went onto the site, and brainstormed. These 238 individuals generated over 600 statements in response to the focus prompt, which again I have at the bottom of the screen, was one research topic that will best inform policy or environmental approaches to physical activity promotion is. So those 238 people were able to essentially finish the statement, and they came up with 600 ideas. But using a systematic process involving four different coders, we were able to reduce the number of statements down to 109. And this was an important step because if you remember in the first graph that I showed you with the overview of the concept mapping, the next step is going to be to rate and sort the ideas. So you can imagine what a daunting task that would be to have to rate and sort 600 ideas. And getting them down to 109 is still a difficult task, but at least it's a little bit more manageable. So one of the ways the statements were reduced was to edit the list for relevance and representativeness and to eliminate any redundancy in the statements. For example, the effect of crime was a frequent statement that was brought up during brainstorming, and we were able to take those statements that were basically the same thing and condense them into one statement or idea that would represent the other ones. So as I mentioned, the next step is to take these 109 ideas and sort and rate them. For the rating portion, the same group of participants who brainstormed were then asked to rate each of the 109 statements of the condensed list that we came up with on their importance and feasibility, which I'll go into more detail about each of these. But a smaller group of participants, after they were rated, was selected from the same pool of individuals, and they were based on their expertise in the field of physical activity. And they were asked to individually sort or group the research ideas into themes or categories based on the similarity of ideas. So for that larger group that had first brainstormed and then they were invited back to rate the statements, they were given access to two surveys. The first survey was asked each person to rate each idea on its importance relative to other topics. The second survey rated the feasibility of implementing the idea within the next 5 years. The scores ranged from 0, equaling relatively unimportant to or not feasible, to 10, equaling highly important or extremely feasible. So of the 600 people, of the people that were invited to rate the statements, the people that brainstormed and then rated, 107 actually completed this portion of the process, or about 18%, and they contributed their input on the importance rating, where about 88 people, or 15%, contributed their input on the feasibility ratings. And then that smaller group that I told you about that was asked to rate the statements, or sort them, I'm sorry, they were asked to sort the statements, 20 people actually participated, or about 80%. So among the 107 people who rated the statements for importance and feasibility, 58% were researchers and 42% were practitioners. So there was a fairly equal distribution among the two. The majority worked in health promotion, and the other portion worked in related disciplines such as transportation and urban planning. Data from the sorted and rated ideas were then entered into the concept system software to compute the maps. This software takes the data and performs cluster analysis and multidimensional scaling to allow for visual representation of the data in the form of clusters. To compute the maps, first the software uses the multidimensional scaling to place those 109 statements in relation to each other on XY coordinates. Conceptually similar ideas that were frequently sorted together were mapped in close proximity. So for example, on the right, both the statements refer to low-income communities, and they appear closer together because they were repeatedly sorted together by the participants. In comparison, the statement on the bottom left refers to understanding the role of selection bias, and this was not frequently sorted with the other two statements and therefore is not placed in close proximity. In addition, it's just important to note that these numbers do not denote importance. They're simply just an ID number for all the different statements. So one is not better than 10, or vice versa. Next, hierarchical clustering analysis was used to create clusters of statements that presumably reflect similar concepts, again using the concept system software. A smaller cluster here suggests that there is more agreement among the people that rated the statements, and the distance between the clusters suggests conceptual similarity with, so for those with greater distances suggests that there's less conceptual similarity between the clusters. The final concept map presents an arrangement of these clusters of ideas. Each cluster was then named by the core group based on the set of ideas within the cluster. So the core group of those 10 researchers that started off that decided on the people that would participate and came up with a focus statement, then looked at these statements and determined, and the clusters, and determined what the actual cluster should be named. So you can see some of the ones that are closer together and are more condensed are the city planning.